Well, that was incredible. Thank you so much, Bells. That was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I've been watching in the early service already. They blessed us earlier this morning. And I was just watching, observing, and I thought that timing is very critical word, timing, when you play bells. Am I right? Timing. And because I've been thinking about joining Mary in your team, playing, but I think I do some rethinking there, because I don't trust that my timing would be always perfect. You know what I'm saying? And when your timing is not perfect, there's a danger that you ruin the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? So maybe the opening bell or the final bell would be more like my instrument. When nothing else is going on, I ring it and be done with it. Joyful ascension. Joyful ascension. That is what I wrote down as my sermon title, because this is Ascension Sunday. Last Thursday, this past Thursday was Ascension Day, 40 days after Easter, after resurrection of Jesus Christ. Back in Europe, where I'm from, I don't know if you recognize it or not, but the Ascension Day is a big day. It's a weekday holiday. It was this past Thursday. So people have those long weekends. And Thursday is, of course, a festive time, and then Friday and Saturday. So it's handy. So they still celebrate Ascension Day in the right place. Now, Ascension Sunday is very appropriate today, and then 10 days forward, 7 days from today, is Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. Now, Luke 24, 44, 53 talks or focuses on Jesus fulfilling Scripture, fulfilling the Scripture, and then commissioning witnesses to proclaim repentance and forgiveness to all nations, and then, after that, ascending into heaven. So this is very, very important for us to remember. We can see it highlights the shift from fear to joy when you look at disciples who were not the listeners to Jesus, and he's addressing disciples before his ascension. Namely, disciples are now empowered by the Holy Spirit. But this was kind of foretaste what is yet to come on the day of Pentecost, when Holy Spirit, according to the promise of Jesus, was sent upon all the flesh. And everyone who believes in Jesus anywhere in the world were commissioned to spread the good news about his resurrection. Not just empowered, really, but disciples also were authorized to spread the gospel, and they were indeed blessed by the departing Jesus, who raised his hand upon his disciples and blessed them. And while blessing his disciples, he was taken into heaven. What a beautiful, beautiful scene that must have been. And we go back to that after a little while. So first we can say, according to our gospel reading this morning, it was Jesus who opened their mind to understand the Scripture. Let me ask you, have you guys ever had any problem to understand the Scripture? No? Yes? Yes? We all in the same boat. We have problems sometimes to understand the Scripture. So that's a long-lasting problem. But here's the thing. Jesus in person were advising his disciples at that time what the Scriptures meant. Now today, as he was seated in the right hand of the Father, it is the Holy Spirit who is counseling us. It's good to remember for us when we start reading the Bible, you talk to Holy Spirit before you start reading. Holy Spirit, I need your counsel as I start reading these lines so I can understand and I can apply it. Here in the reading, Jesus says, it says, then he said, when I was with you, before I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Everything it says about me must be fulfilled. Then Jesus continues, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus here demonstrates that his suffering, his death, and his resurrection were not tragedy, but the fulfillment of the word of God in the Old Testament, the law and the prophets and the Psalms. How many of you believe that Psalms are prophetic messages from the Lord? Sometimes we read Psalms on the birthday parties or decorating our something that we believe is easy reading, but Psalms are actually very deep prophetic messages from the Lord in the Old Testament. Now, Jesus opens the disciples' mind to understand that the entire Old Testament talks and points to him, to Jesus. Now, how many of you have ever had any problems to understand anything in the Old Testament? Yes? No? Yes. We all have. My advice to myself and to us all this morning, to y'all, is that we go to the Old Testament with Jesus, with the Messiah. Every line that is written in the Old Testament talks about Jesus, metaphorically, in the picture. You say, well, Timo, they don't say Jesus. Well, they may not say the word Jesus, but they talk about Messiah to events, actions, metaphors, pictures. The whole that is forerunning prior the Messiah was born. The foundation of our faith is not based on myths. No imaginations, but on the authority word of God, ensuring that Jesus' work is the culmination of God's promises. He's everything. He's the red line from the first page of the Bible to the last page of the Bible. Then secondly, following this gospel reading this morning, then comes commissioning of the witness. Jesus commissioned his disciples to be witness. He says, listen to this, it was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name, referring to the name of Jesus. And there is authority in the name of Jesus. Church, are you with me? There is authority in the name of Jesus. You believe in that? Bible says, continues, to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Namely, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. For all who repent. Have you repented your sins? Have you turned your heart to Christ? Maybe this morning in the church you can do it. Or somebody watching this service at home or traveling. Then Jesus continues, you are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Wow. That was a promise, if anything is. So Jesus here entrusts his disciples with a massive mission to proclaim the good news, repentance and forgiveness of all sins, to proclaim, to tell everyone, to preach, to teach, to witness, and about forgiveness of sins to all nations starting in Jerusalem. Let's pause here a little bit. What is this to us this morning? What is proclaiming? What is witnessing? What is preaching in our 21st century context? We believe a witness's job, your job, my job, is not to force conviction. We can't make anybody a Christian. When I was a young preacher, I really worked hard on that. I thought I can make anybody Christian. But then I realized one day that I can't make a one person Christian. It is God's work in our lives by grace. But to tell the truth about what they have seen, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have experienced, and then trusting God to work in the hearts and other in the hearts and lives of others, that is our job. That is our job, to be a witness. If you've been called to the witnesses stand at the local court, they don't want to hear anything else but your witness. What you have seen, what you have heard, what you believe was true, and that is what you've been asked to share, nothing else. The judge will take care of the rest of the story when time comes. We are not alone in this though, because we have promised the power of the Holy Spirit to be with us, the promise of Father, and we are waiting for that equipment before going. Let me share a story how important this waiting sometimes is. Because we feel we are weak. The church, we are limited, and we don't know how to reach out and how to get there where people are. We struggle with this, which is understandable. But also, let me share a story about a couple who were making plans to go to mission work or to be missionaries in Japan. Okay? This is back in Finland, Helsinki. So this younger couple, they start, he was assistant pastor in the church and had some experience about pastoral ministry. And then he got married, and before too long, there's three children in the family, beautiful family, and they start making, they express their calling to our church and then the mission board that they've been called to be missionaries in Japan. So that's where the preparation got started. His background was engineering. He had an engineering degree and was well equipped from that field. And then maybe a business degree with this lady. But anyway, they start preparing for this life's mission there in Japan. About a couple of years, they did preps. They learned Japanese language, which is not easy-peasy Japanese at all. It's difficult language. And learning from the culture and you name it. And then when the church furnished them to go, Japan is not a cheap place to send a five-member family. Making sure they have vehicles, they have housing, they have everything there to do their ministry. They were there. A few months afterwards, we start getting letters from him. Somewhat different letters. I got one and maybe two. And between the lines, I start reading that he was believing. He got to the point where he started questioning whether this was the right move at all. He was questioning it. And then before too long, he started saying that, what about if we just come home? And that's where you get your mission board really involved and your church involved. Wait a minute. With all these preparations and all this investment we have made and the big field you have there, my goodness sake, what are we hearing from you? Less than a year, this family was back in Helsinki. I'm sure it was great disappointment for them and also for the mission board and the church. Later, when I have chance to talk to my friend, this man, he said, "Timo, yeah, we probably did some preparations when it comes to practicalities, but I failed to do some spiritual preparations for my heart, for my ministry. Because I just learned, I determined that the more I was committed to be a witness to Jesus Christ, and it was all pioneering work, there's not a one Christian soul in that area. And Japan, even as civilized country it is, friends, it is dark when it comes to spirituality. There's nothing there. It's all Buddhism and with all due respect, but there, if you are to be witnessed there, you are going to get offended. So he said, I just didn't have power. Before too long, they start having issues with the family, all kinds of matters. And what was tragic, their son got sick with cancer and died. And it was terrible thing. So the lesson we learn when we are talking about ministries, friends, in the church, that we are dealing with powers that we can't do it on our own. We need Christ, we need Holy Spirit to empower us and to lead us and to give us authority to be a witness. And this is what we talk more about next Sunday, today already. And then lastly, the ascended Lord gave them joy, and he also gave us our joy to be in the ministry. Listen to this, what Jesus says in this gospel reading. When Jesus led them to Bethany and lifting his hand to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy, and they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. Think about the ascension of our Lord Jesus. Change, what a paradigm shift in the life. From fear to joy and towards strength. So the story of ascension is not a story of abandonment, but it's a story of coronation. Jesus leaves them while blessing them, raising his hands with the blessing his disciples. And this is real picture, friends, what is happening even as I speak, as we worship here in the sanctuary. There is his intercession for us, his constant presence for us and for his church. For you, my friend, don't ever say that you are all alone in this world. Christ is with you. Seal family in Germany, you are not alone there. You are. The blessing hand of Jesus is upon you, everything what you are doing. And yes, even from his seat at the right hand of the Father, he's interceding and blessing and praying for us, his church, his disciples, his church members, and their ministry. Now, these disciples were continually praising God in the temple. Can you see the big difference in their life? Huge difference. They are transformed from followers in fear to be bold worshipers prepared for winning the world for Christ. Now, as a pastor, I listen to people. I try to listen more than I talk to them. And sometimes when you get phone call from somebody you don't know anything about, and then you just listen and listen, and before too long you start hearing how this person is loaded with fears. All kinds of fears, just one fear after another. And then you have reason to ask, my friend, what I'm hearing, you are dealing with lots of fears. Why are you so afraid? Why all these fears? Why you are so afraid? Christ won the victory for us. He's interceding for you. Yeah, life is not easy thing, but his hand is still upon you, blessing you all the time, all the way through. So the we are continuation of that story. Like the disciples, we are commissioned witnesses to walk by faith, not by seeing, but by faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit and sustained by the blessing of our ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So something to take home today for us to consider. We have asked to preach the whole counsel of the Bible, not just something that we like very much about. Everything about the Bible, beginning from the law and prophets and Jesus' birth and ministry, his suffering, resurrection, and death and resurrection. Then his ascension as well, and sending the Holy Spirit. And we teach that Jesus is the fulfillment of the whole Bible. Our role is to bear witness to the resurrection not to convince everyone ourselves. And the ascension is a cause for joy, not sorrow, because Jesus is ruling and interceding for us. And then finally, we are asked and we are tasked to live as witnesses of his grace until he returns. Now the second thing, the big thing for every Christian is what? It's the second coming of Christ, am I right? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Not a matter of fear, it is our salvation day when we see him coming, and everyone will see him as he comes in the clouds, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship time by the ministry of giving, if the ushers can come forward at this time.